Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is June the 27th, 2019. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk more about the fun factor a little bit and how to bring enjoyment and fun into your sports as well as any kind of performance, musical or business performances as well. Kind of a part two of that. Last time we talked about the how fun gets taken away from sports and from performance, what I call the adultrification of sports, kind of with kids or when people get started, how we kind of put adult values into things, into sports and take away from their performance. I think it's a little bit of background noise. If you want to just press *6 on your phone, just for this part, and then to mute the phones, each person, so we can get a good recording. And then afterward, if you want to ask a question, just press *6 again to unmute. That would be great. Yeah, thank you. And so today we wanted to talk more about what to do about the issues in sports, how to make them more fun, and how to bring that factor back. And it's not only for youth as well as for adults, for people of any age, whether it's kids or high school, college, professionals, athletes, Olympic athletes, adult athletes, people at any level need to keep that fun in the sport or in your performance. And then, you know, kind of a lot of times people think that fun and competition and competitiveness are opposites, or that they're different, or they, you either have fun or you're competitive. But actually, I think that the two go hand in hand, and there's so many situations where when you see athletes doing some great performances, they really are having fun. Or if they're very competitive, even if they're behind, they're really determined, you know, that's the time that they're having fun as well. I remember one of the past Olympics several years ago, Haile Gebrselassie was, famous, one of the first famous Ethiopian runners in the Olympics. He was doing the 10,000-meter final, and he was at the starting line, and they were getting ready to start. And everyone was there looking very serious. And Gebrselassie was just cracking up. He was looking at his friend from the sideline. Apparently someone had told him a joke or had said something really funny or was doing something funny. And he was just busting up, almost, you know, having so much fun right at the starting line. It's total laughter and joy. And then the gun started, and after he was just laughing and having a good time, the gun started, and then he just took off, and boom, he just, got into a total focus mode and was very focused and ended up winning and getting the Olympic gold medal. And so it was just an example of how you can, when you have laughter and fun and you lighten up right before a race, then you can just take off and it allows you to really loosen up the muscles, loosen up your mind, and just realize, hey, I'm just going to go out here and have fun and enjoy this. And it kind of takes a weight off your shoulders. And he was able to just really perform well. Yeah, did someone else just join us too?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm Matt Pendola. How are you all doing today?
Oh, hi, Matt. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm bringing my daughter to martial arts, so I'm going to put this on mute, so if you don't hear from me for a little bit, that's why.
Okay, and then, you can rejoin, just listen, and if you have questions, feel free to join in here. Did you have a question that you want me to, any thoughts or things that you want me to address today before you go on mute?
I guess just selfishly, my main issue over this summer that I've been dealing with my athletes is just logging, just trying to get a lot of my athletes to do their journaling and logging. And I get the newer athletes that I work with, over the summer is when they kind of come on board. And so it's always such a hard process getting them going. So any ideas on that or what can help with that process, I'd love to hear that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Just one quick idea would be to a lot of people think with journaling that they have to write a book or that it has to be perfect sentences or it has to really be complete and have all the grammar correct. But if you can let them know that journaling can take many forms and that you can just write down a word or two or a phrase and make it short, you can just do a lot of times our thoughts come to us intermittently, or you come up with an idea or an insight about, oh, geez, I could change this in my workout, or I made this error, I want to fix this, or here's a question I want to ask Matt next time we get together. Those are all good items for journaling. So tell people to, just to be able to, they can write something that's really short that just comes to mind as throughout the day as things happen. That doesn't have to be just a, they could make a designated time, like before they go to bed, but it could also be right, as they, throughout the day. And so if they can also have a way to log their thoughts easily, either some people work best on paper, some people work best by, like the notes section on the phone. You can dictate. I think the dictation is a really great tool. So in terms of technology, being able to push that microphone, a little icon on the phone where you can talk, sort of talk to text and talk out your thoughts. So much easier to talk them out than to, for some people, than to write them down. And that way you're talking and then it's putting it, logging it right into the phone there, into the notes section, and they could transfer that on to something else for more permanent use or to show you if they want to. So, those are some ideas to make it easy for people to do their journaling. Yeah, thanks, Matt. And also, Misty, are you there? I just wondered if you had any questions that you'd like me to answer or anything that you'd like me to address today?
Oh, no questions right now. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, great. So if you do, just let me know later on. But, I think we've got some other people joining us too here. So, today we talk about exercising your fun factor muscle, thinking of it as a muscle, just like any other muscle in the body, that we need to exercise that on a regular basis, and creating enjoyment in every practice or workout, and what to do if your clients, whether it's a child or adult, is sort of fun challenged, has a difficult time with having fun, what to do with that, and, how to allow people to use their imagination to lighten up during their training. And then be able to balance the focus and the fun. So it's kind of a swinging pendulum, I think, where the pendulum swings to the right toward peak performance, and then you need to swing back to the left toward full recovery, which can include fun and laughter and enjoyment too. And you need to be able to recover and relax in order to have the pendulum swing back toward the right toward another peak performance. And that performance could also include focus and fun at the same time, but high intensity and then coming back down to low intensity. So it's good to have both of those parts. Whereas a lot of kids feel like the pendulum is constantly swinging to the right, that they're in high intensity all the time, high pressure, and so we need both situations, or kind of both sides of the pendulum. So. So let me go into some of the things I wanted to address here, some of the content with that, and why I wanted to talk first about why keeping fun in sports and in performance is so important, and it's really key to kind of keep these in mind, I think, when you're working with people, that people will keep – one of the most important things is that we is the learning factor, that we, you know, we learn through fun. We kind of, I think a lot of people ignore that part or don't acknowledge that part. You think, oh, it's just fun, just goofing around. That's time off from learning or from going forward. But actually, that's where a lot of learning happens, is through the fun. And this research actually bears this out, that, you know, fun is really, especially with kids, it's really an important thing. It helps, fun helps them, and play helps them solve problems, learn to solve problems, and to get along with others, and to be able to be creative and come up with new solutions. And when you're having fun, you can develop your mental flexibility and your physical flexibility, and it can happen on the you know, on the playground or on sports or in you know, in a competition. So any of those situations, the more when they are having fun, then really that's when the learning happens, and then learning comes in a natural and easy way. And that the research shows that learning happens best when it's kind of it's a side effect of the enjoyment that is going on. And so then with that type of learning, the person is more likely to stick with the sport or music or whatever the activity is as they grow up. So it's good to realize that learning goes along with having fun. Another important factor why keeping fun in the activity is so important is that, you know, you're going to, coaches really are interested in keeping kids in their sports or in their music or in their activity. And so, and also parents are too. And so, you know, we want to teach kids the importance of learning, you know, hard work and persistence. But if they're not having fun, kids will tend to quit the sport. And yeah, I mentioned a statistic last time that most kids, about 70% of kids, quit sports by the age of 13, right when they get into their teens. And so the main reason they stayed for that is they're not having fun. So we want kids to keep playing and get those opportunities for learning. And so it's really important to have both, to be able to have fun and the hard work, and both can go together. And so, another reason why fun is really important is just to keep that, to be able to develop humor and laughter, and it's really important for your for a person's health. You know, we all need to laugh a lot more and keep that humor in our lives. And you know, we need to acknowledge the fact that laughter can really lessen the stress. And so it's good to try to figure out a way, how can I develop some humor and into each practice, or if you're doing a session with a client, think of, you know, usually during a session, at some point there's something that you could laugh about, and that just not to, you don't ever want to laugh about to demean a child, or you don't want to do anything that's going to put them down, but just being able to laugh about a situation, you know. It's funny when I had a child that was having a difficult time with feeling intimidated in baseball, but intimidated by the pitcher, and so he was thinking, you know, something funny. He was thinking about, thinking about mud or something, you know, throwing mud at the person, and so he imagined that there was mud on the pitcher's face or something funny like that, and that made him laugh to just be able to imagine something. That the pitcher looked really, really silly. And so he just imagined that in his mind, and that could help him kind of take away that power of the pitcher taking over to him. And it just was funny when he thought about it. So, and that was, the child came up with that. So kids can come up with things that you could never imagine would be, as adults we have trouble imagining that. So take in, ask them what would make this fun and what they really enjoy. And then another reason I just wanted to mention that why keeping fun is so important is that it really kind of breaks down the walls between people. And so, when you're having fun, amazing things really happen. And it breaks down the walls between players. These bonds get built. And when you're having a really fun situation, you kind of develop an in language, something that happened during that maybe phrases that only you know that happened between the team and that you can refer to. So it's just fun. And when kids or people go on a trip somewhere, there's lots of laughter. And if it's, kids are going to an event, there can be fun at the restaurant and fun on the bus and all kinds of situations. And so those are important times for kids to bond together with their friends. So I just wanted to first mention some reasons why it's key to have this factor, the fun factor, involved in sports, as well as any kind of competitive situation. And then just talk about a little bit also about creating an environment for having fun. When you are working with coaches or you're working with an athlete individually, you want to help them to have those positive team dynamics. That's going to create an environment for more fun and enjoyment, and have an environment that allows for mistakes. Promotes the opportunity for kids to take risks and then make a mistake, and then you can talk about what did you learn here, or what can we do better this next time. If you don't take risks, then kids get afraid of making mistakes. But being able to allow for that, so that kids know, okay, I can try new things and I can really put myself out here. And that's when the learning takes place. Also, you want to help with a team to be able to have that respect and encouragement for team players. So even if someone messes up, you go up to them and say, okay, get the next one. We'll get the next one. It's okay. Be able to encourage people and have a coach that's willing to give players kind of ownership of the experience, give them some autonomy so they can develop their own leadership. So that's really important to have that, give kids a chance to explore and try new things. They might come up with some new technique that we hadn't even thought of. So give them that ownership, let them really take over sometimes what they're doing. Just be able to include these things with the sport so that you can help kids to be both fun and competitive. Because actually what I wanted to bring up, an important key factor here, is how adults define fun is not necessarily how children define fun. It might be different. And there's been a number of pieces of research in this area. And the primary reason that kids say that they play sports or do some performance activities it is for having fun, and it can be something that is challenging. So some of the things that they listed, the kids list with fun, is actually working hard. They think they like being with their friends. You know, that's a key factor, and developing those friendships. Learning a new skill is something that is fun. And kids define fun as having a coach that cares, that really shows that they care about them. And so it gives each kid individual attention and praise for doing good things, and for effort, praise for effort, not just for winning or for scoring. Kids define fun as getting compliments from coaches and from a coach that respects them. So if you're working with a coach, it's important to share these kinds of qualities with them. And fun in sports for kids also means being able to work as a team together, so having that interaction there. They have fun when they're learning from mistakes because they're getting those new insights. Oh, yeah, okay, I see what I was doing wrong here, so I see how I can move forward. And being able to apply a skill from practice into the game, so that's really key because a lot of kids and a lot of people, we have this one mindset, a practice mindset. And then we have the competition mindset, and they're two totally different things. And we the brain where you're relaxed in practice, but then really stressed out and tense during the competition. And if they can apply the same skills, the same abilities from the practice, transfer that right into a game, it is can be so gratifying and so much fun. And I teach people in my coaching, performing edge coaching with clients to be able to have your practice mindset, which is, you know, feeling confident, strong, relaxed, calm, and then being able to take that practice mindset and bring it into the game or bring it into your competition so that you are there and feel like you can feel like every competition is practice for the next competition, so you're always really practicing. And if you can bring that mindset in, you know, of course the stakes are higher sometimes depending on which game it is or what level you're playing at or whether you're at the beginning of the season or close to a championship, but you can always carry that practice mindset in no matter how high the stakes are, even at the Olympic level. Being able to say, hey, this is practice. I've done this a million times. I was working with an Olympic athlete in Misty Hyman in the Olympics, and she talked about how and we saw that she was smiling out on the finals as she went out to do her swimming, the 200-meter butterfly. Everyone else was really, had their game face on and was looking really nervous and putting their goggles on, and she was just was just beaming with an incredible smile, and she was just saying to herself, hey, I've done this 1,000 times before. I'm just going to enjoy this experience here. And she just took off all the expectations and just let the pressure go and just focused on having fun. And then she ended up getting the Olympic gold medal in the 200-meter butterfly. So that was really telling that her attitude going out there was key in just being able to enjoy the experience. So, and then that led to performing her best as well. So, some other things that kids say about having fun is that improving their athletic skills to be able to play at the next level. That is so much fun for people to be able to see that they are improving. So these are all things that if you can help athletes do this at an individual level and have coaches work with them on, then their fun is going to be built into the game, into their sports. Playing against an evenly matched team, they say, is really important. Kids love that because then you're really challenged at every level to dig down deep and see what you're made of and work hard to be able to challenge yourself against this other really tough team. So, and of course, winning is something that is fun for kids too. But oftentimes they say that winning is fun, but it's not the most important factor. Whereas for coaches, of course, winning is the most important factor. And so, in fact, there was one study, there was about 81 different components, and fun came in at about number 48, only half, you know, way down the list when it came to prioritizing what's important for kids. So winning is not as important as just that fun factor. So I think that's important to note. And then I just wanted to talk a little bit about some ways to be able to make sports and activities, competitions, both fun and competitive. So, because you can have both, and people can be able to experience fun and be intense at the same time. So some things that you can do with them. I know some of you may be working with people in the office there, and some people might be working out on the field, and you might be working with coaches. So if you some of you like Matt and Doug and others that have joined the group here. We have a new member, Doug, that just joined the program, and they're people that are working with the athletes directly on the physical skills, athletic coaching, as well as the mental training. So it's good to think of things that you can do when you're working with kids as a group. And you might be doing a workshop with a whole group of kids too, or people, athletes, had encouraged you to see if you can do workshops or seminars for people, for kids at gyms or at in their high schools or in sports organizations. And so one thing you can do, some things you can do to make sports both fun and competitive, is to be able to play games in training, lots of games. So if you're, things like, just things where they're actually playing a fun activity without scoring, or something that's a little bit different than the usual competition. So you want to have a big percentage of the training be sort of game-based. You could add people who are defenders or something if you like through a game, but play is the most important thing, to be able to have those games there. And then be able to look at efforts, make it so that sometimes you could do a different scoring system, so you're scoring, each person scores their effort level rather than just their ability to score a goal. If you're playing soccer, be able to do their own score of how much effort they're putting into something, how hard they're working. So so those are important factors in both fun and competition. And I think it's important to encourage coaches to be able to really focus on positive feedback and to not be yelling at a student or a child for every mistake that they're making. So you want to really have the coaches reward that focus and effort. And if they are making a mistake or something, to be able to kind of to give them that feedback after the competition, or have the coaches hold back on the negative feedback, which they're often doing so much of. it's really something that we can work with coaches on, to hold back on the negative feedback. And another thing that people can do for encouraging fun and competition is to give people ownership, give the athlete ownership of what they're doing. So maybe it's deciding, okay, do you want to, which kind of practice technique do you want to work on today, A, B, or C? You could have them choose something, or you could have them choose which game they want to play, or being able to, if there's a halftime of the period where they're not playing, have them be able to choose what they can do during that time. That way, if they have those, some kind of ownership and some things where they can make a choice, then their enjoyment is going to increase. And with it, their competitiveness is going to be improved as well. So that's really important, to give them some ways that they can, as opposed to just being told what to do through the entire workout, say, here, which of these would you like to do today, and be able to have them make those choices. So that's some other things I wanted to bring in. And some other things that, so I just wanted to first open it up for, does anyone have questions or comments so far, or things that you'd like me to address? You can just press *6 on your phone to comment on anything that we're talking about here. I was thinking with Matt, with your comment about journaling, that could be another way to bring in another technique to allow people to have more fun, is to tell people to, okay, now let's, like during the break here, everybody get out their journal or get out their phone or their iPad or something to write down what are your thoughts about how this first half went. How the first half of the game went for you. You know, write down what went well, write down what you'd like to improve, write down the things that you want to do differently. And just random thoughts about, you know, things that came up for you during this part of the game. There's so many thoughts that go on during a practice or during a game, and so, you know, our minds are going everywhere. That's really important information there that we want to capture, because then if we don't, we end up forgetting that. So I'm glad, Matt, you brought up that idea of the journaling, and that it can be like in real time, you know, right in the middle of or in between a technique during a practice, that you could have kids write down their thoughts and their insights right there. Or you could have them share between each other what things they noticed, or maybe one kid thought of noticed another kid doing really well in a practice, and you could have them comment to each other, you know, what they thought their team members were doing well, and that can really help with building the team building and the bonding. So those are some things that you could bring in. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about ways for other ways that you could have coaches bring in more fun to an experience. One is being able to ask them, you know, obvious is that the thing that we overlook the most, actually ask the kids, are you having fun with this? And checking in with them. So, you know, what was fun about the practice this week or today, being able to hear their feedback. Kids love that, to be able to interact with them, to, you know, to be asked. Or what could make, you know, another great question would be, what would make this practice more fun for you? And kids will give you all kinds of answers and come up with things. You know, I worked with one kid that was doing baseball, and he was, when he's at bat, I asked him to imagine what would make it fun for you, or what would make this, how could you use your imagination in this situation? And he said, it was a 10-year-old kid, and he said to me, well, I like to imagine that I am the bat, that I am the bat hitting the ball, and what that feels like to really hit a great shot or hit a home run when I am the bat. And then he said, now I'd like to imagine that I am the ball and what that would be like, to be the ball coming right at the bat. And I thought that was brilliant. I had never thought of that myself, and kids will come up with all these great ideas. So if you can let them use their imagination, they're going to give you all kinds of great ideas about things. And the same thing with adults. I think that adults need to, our imagination muscle kind of gets flabby as they get older. So you want to be able to use your imagination to and give them chances to do that. You know, imagine what it would be like if you're out there, if the team is neck and neck and there's another team that you're playing against that's really, the score is really tight. You know, how's that going to change things? How would you play? And have them imagine these things and come up with different scenarios. You could do an if-then scenario and say, imagine, what if this problem happens? How are we going to handle it? If this happens, then what do we do here? If this other issue happens, then what do we do here? And so they come up with all the different possible scenarios, and then you could create a visualization around that. You could create some positive affirmations, power words around that. All kinds of things. So be able to ask the kids if they're having fun. And then you want to be able to ask kids also, another great question to ask them is what you want to get out of this experience. You know, why did you get into the sport initially? What attracted you to the sport, and what do you want to get out of it? And you can ask, same thing with high school, college, with adults too. And so, you know, usually we're designing the sports around the expectations of adults. And, you know, adults want so often for kids to, you know, go on and play professional sports or get a college scholarship or be in the Olympics. And those are, you know, lofty goals, but that might not be what the kid's goal is. Oftentimes they just, they may say that fun is the main reason that they're participating. And so, and winning might be, you know, way down the list. So asking them why they're participating, what it is that why they started in the sport and what they want to get out of this is really key. And being able to, another really important factor that coaches and you as a performing edge coach want to do for the kids is help develop their self-esteem, their self-confidence. their self-efficacy. So that belief in themselves that they're going to be able to perform well in lots of different situations and be able to learn the necessary skills to perform well, that's really key to sports. So if you, and that's going to allow them to have more enjoyment. If they feel like they're hopeless in a game, or then of course they're not likely to have fun. And so you want to have them develop that self-confidence. And one way to do that, I think, is to have, you know, small goals rather than really large ones. If, you know, the large goal, we want to win the championship at the end of the year, you know, let's make it a small goal. Let's learn to be able to, you know, have a good success session in today's practice. You know, if it's basketball, be able to just shoot a couple of free throws and get near the basket. Be able to have something small that they can achieve. And if they can achieve something really small, then they're going to be able to string together several small achievements to create bigger achievements. And, of course, I always tell people this is one of the things that helps me get clients and that can help you get clients as well is like when I talk to parents on the phone about having their kid work with me, I'll say that the lessons that they are learning in sports, the self-confidence, the self-image that they gain, that is going to carry over, and does carry over every day into every part of their life, to making them a better student, a better worker, a better person to interact with. So it's really important this is why it's key to have this kind of sports psychology work. And if you say that to your client or to the parents, you know, most of the time that's really going to make them want to work with you, as they realize this is an investment, not just in sports or not just in music or in business, but it's a way to be able to really gain their confidence that this is an investment in life skills and life lessons. And that's what makes, and when they're learning these kinds of things, boy, it's just something that you'll get people calling you back for years and saying thank you for what you did for my child, or thank you for what you did for me, you know, if it's an adult in working with them. So that's really important. Asking kids if they're having fun, you know, what is it that makes practice, what's fun about practice today, asking them why they're participating, what they want out of the experience, helping them to develop that self-confidence. When you see kids, another thing that you can do and coaches can do is when you see that people are encouraging their teammates and bonding together, that's really critical, because the sense of belonging is really important component to the ability to enjoy what we're doing, that sense of belonging. And, you know, when you see yourself as in a group doing something larger than just yourself, then you're more likely to be connected to other people, connected to the experience, and wanting to stay in the game and wanting to come to those practices and want to endure the hard times, the good times and the hard times. So I think being able to encourage kids to bond with each other and have that sense of belonging there. And it goes both ways. If someone is going to encourage another teammate, then they're going to get that encouragement back as well, and have that sense of belonging to something really important. And that can, that's one of the most important keys here, I think, in doing, in creating a sense of fun and enjoyment, is feeling like you're part of something. I know I've been part of a women's running team, Impala's racing team here in San Francisco Bay Area for the last several years, and it feels like you know, when we show up at a race, it's often there could be 100 of us that show up together, and there's women that are in their 15 years old, all the way up to 75 years old, almost 80 years old, on our team, and we all compete in different age groups with races, 5K races, 10K races, half marathons, and it feels like I have that sense of belonging to something really important here. And for instance, we have a race coming up this next 4th of July, next Thursday, and you know, you need 3 people in each age group to be able to make the to be able to count, to score as a team, and they really needed a third person, and so I you know, I joined and said I'll run the race, and they you know, it was a sense of belonging and a sense of importance of being able to contribute to a team, something larger than myself. So just giving that personal example, and knowing that the team is depending on me to do the race, to do well and to finish, and to help the team to score. And it's not so much running super fast, but just being able to participate and to be there, that is critical. So that's really key to helping people feel wanting to stay in the game, is that feeling of self-confidence, self-efficacy, feeling of belonging. And then just, I think another thing that can help, that you can do and that coaches can do to help with having fun, helping your clients to have fun, is to vary the workouts. Variety is really key. That's important, to mix it up. If you're doing the same thing every day, it gets really it can lead to slumps and burnout. So, you know, being able to have short, depending on what sport is, have short interval bursts, make maybe a little short sessions of different kinds of practices. Because drills sometimes can be really boring, but if you mix it up with different kinds of things, or give the athletes choices, okay, which of these two workouts would you like to do today? Variety is really key with being able to make the workouts more fun. And, you know, for depending on what the sport is, if it's running, you know, you've got a cross-country or a running team, you could have some workouts on the track, some workouts on the road, some workouts on the trails. I have one athlete I'm working with right now that's a high school kid, and they go to every Saturday, get in a van and drive up to the hills and do a workout on the trails in the mountains. And so that creates a variety in the workouts, also bonding with the other people as they're, you know, you're doing in a van, going to this to the workout together, and then running together, and coming back and eating a meal together. All those things kind of create this fun experience. So creating that variety there makes a big difference. Anything that you can do, and you could ask your athletes what would help create more variety for you. Also, being able to take time off, take a little break. You know, often coaches want athletes to work out every day, 7 days a week, which can lead to burnout. But if you can create at least a 1 day off, or so let's say in a case of a triathlete, they're, you know, say running, because running tends to be an injury-prone sport, to have more fun and to create less injuries. You want to have them, you know, maybe run every other day. That's what I've been doing for the last 30 years is running, never running 2 days in a row, but running every other day and then swimming and biking on the alternate days. And it creates a lot more, it makes it more interesting and have much more longevity as an athlete. And you look forward to the workout each day because it's something a little different. So other things, a few other things I wanted to mention were things like being able to pay attention to each athlete that you're working with and adjust the challenges of the workout accordingly. So some, you know, everybody has different needs, and oftentimes athletes get frustrated because the coach is, you know, just doing one workout that's maybe scaled to certain athletes. But if a coach can look at each person and see, okay, what does this person need, or what kind of encouragement do they need? How can they, what is it that this person needs that might be a little different? Some people are more long distance. Some people need short distance workouts. One kid might be struggling, so might need a little extra attention or a little extra coaching before or after the workout. So being able to really notice what each person needs and adjusting, being able to adjust the workout so that they can be able to progress at the best rate for them. So, yeah, lots of different things that you can do to be able to look at how each person has different needs, kind of thing. And let them, you know, it's really important, I think, to ask them, how are these workouts going for you? And get feedback from them and ask them if it's too much, if it's too little. Some people are too bored and they need a little bit, you know, they need more of a challenge, kind of thing. So letting them move forward. So, you know, maybe making it more challenging for them. So those are some things. Also, just music, that can be something that can be really fun for athletes, and playing some music beforehand when they're just getting ready. That can be some things that they can do as well. So let's see. Also, I wanted to mention another thing that you could do is, you know, sometimes it's good to let people try different sports and be able to, you know, one reason that a child might not be happy or having fun is that they're in a sport that's just not suited for them or that they're not interested in. So sometimes being able to try something else is really key, and being able to allow kids to play multiple sports so they can decide for themselves what they want to do, what they're good at, what they're talented at, what they want to work hard at is really key. A lot of parents want to mold their kid into a future athletic superstar in this one particular sport because the adult likes that sport. But you want to let them find an activity that they enjoy doing and not pressure the child too much into specializing in one sport at an early age. It's great to have them develop this all-around athleticism and try different things. And it just that creates variety. It creates so much more of a fun kind of experience for them. So it makes it a lot more enjoyable. And then a key thing here too, I think, if you're working with coaches or you're working with athletes directly, the focus needs to be on, you know, doing their best. And to not, I think one thing that coaches do is, and parents do too, is comparing them down to their other players. You know, you're not as good as so-and-so, or you'll never be as good as this other person, they'll say, which is just so demeaning to that person. And all of a sudden, that kid starts to put a label on themselves as being, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to be as good as, you know, my brother, my sister, or my teammate. So what you want to do is educate the parents and the coaches on, you know, how devastating that can be for an athlete, and to keep the focus on doing what's needed for that one person to reach their personal best, because each person has their own gifts, their own skills, their own interests. And so, you know, being able to just do what's best for that one person. Also, you want to have the coaches allow everybody on the roster to play, a chance to play in the game. You know, the kids that get benched and are just sitting on the sidelines most of the time, you know that they're not having fun and they're really frustrated. You want to have every child feel like they are included, every person's included, and feeling like they are part of a team that is a team. And that means everybody should play, should have the opportunity to play. And so players who feel like they're part of a team, they're more likely to be invested in continuing in the sport. So have coaches find a way to include everyone on the team. Maybe there might be two, if they're having practices, they might have two different scrimmages going, or two different games, practices, you know, for maybe the more advanced players and the less advanced, or mixing them up, and giving everyone a chance to get out there and play and not just be on a bench. And then it's good to have time for them to just goof around and to have that kind of unstructured play. So a lot of times kids love that, like with soccer, they love to just kick the ball around and not have to, at a time when they're not necessarily in a structured practice. So that's really important to have that balance between, say, some structured time and then unstructured time too. And you know, kids love like recess in school. It's just nice to get out there and play and do things for fun. And it helps really refine their social skills and learn the value of teamwork. And everybody needs that time to just do what they want with their friends. So unstructured time, the goof around time is important. And you know, however they want to define that. So those are some things I wanted to share with you today. I think I covered a lot of different things, but if you have other areas that you'd like me to cover, just let me know. And I think that, you know, there's so many different things that you can do with athletes. And depending on the age group, I think that the skills, I think it was Evan that asked me, who's in one of our coaches in the program. I think he might be on the call today in the background on mute, but he was asking me, what kinds of things do you teach kids of different age groups or people of different age groups? And I think that the same skills are important, focus, confidence, you know, trust in themselves. All these skills are important at every age group. It's just that the way that we teach them might be a little different depending on if they're younger, then, you know, a lot of kids a little bit less structured time, more unstructured time, being able to use their imagination. As people get older, they have, you know, kind of different priorities, and you teach those same skills, but just teaching them in different ways. The key is that you want to keep the fun factor in the sport, no matter what the age group is, whether it's young kids, high school, college, pros, or adults that you're working with. Everybody needs to have fun and enjoyment. And so you want to be able to bring those factors in and just have that time for fun in every workout, every practice, every competition, and asking, and then allowing them to, you know, like Matt, with your question about journaling, allow the athletes afterward to journal about that. Ask themselves, did I have fun? Or what was fun about this practice today? So just letting them know that they can write about that. So I just wanted to check in with you about any questions that you have or comments for what we covered today so far, or any other questions that you have. If you want to unmute your phone, you can press *6.
Hi, Joanne. Yeah, Matt again.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was wondering about, my swimmers tend to specialize early. I struggle a little bit more with them, their coaches. I don't coach them on the swimming side. And it gets a little bit more difficult, I think, A, because they tend to be younger. I have a 10-year-old swimmer who's going to Far Westerns, and she is a mess. She's one of the favorites going into it, but she's really struggling mentally. It's hard because she is one of those athletes that doesn't log. It's hard even at 10 years old to kind of have the maturity, I think, to really even know how to answer some of the questions. I feel like sometimes it's a little bit unfair because she's so young, and there's several factors there. I think her dad is much more interested in her winning than she is. She just wants to have fun, but she happens to be good at it at an early age. I don't really think she should be specializing this early, but it's a kind of a tough situation between her dad and her coaches and her, and then myself, and I kind of struggle with what I can do about that. I know after Far Westerns, I've asked her parents to sit down with me after Far Westerns, and I'm considering not being a part of the problem anymore by removing myself if she's going to continue to swim year round and specialize so much, because I think she needs a break and I think she wants a break. But any suggestions there would be, I'd be grateful for that, or just how to help her a little bit more, even with these outside factors.
Yeah. How to help her to be, more relaxed, to handle the pressure and be able to, being 10 years old, it's really young. I agree with you that it's tough to specialize at that age, and oftentimes, when they're fast or seem talented, parents want to map out their whole lives for them, kind of thing. I'd say to, does she seem like she's getting burnt out? Is that what you were noticing?
Yeah, I mean, to give you an example, in her last meet, even though she won, she was a complete mess afterwards because she didn't PR. She missed her PR by 0.02 seconds, and she threw a temper tantrum in the water and almost got DQ'd. And, you know, she clearly is, you know, kind of in deep waters here, if you will. And when I talk to her, she's a wonderful kid. She's just not enjoying it anymore. She doesn't like all the pressure. I think her coaches and her dad specifically are the reason for that. They're all about the win. She's all about the fun, and it's becoming less and less so for her. But when I ask her why she does it, you know, it's less and less about fun. Now it's, well, I have to swim this time. I have to beat so-and-so. Have to, at Far Westerns, I'm going to have this person to worry about. And it just goes against the grain so much of what I'm trying to tell her. So it's a little frustrating there. And as far as logging goes, it doesn't happen. And I've tried, you know, you can do voice logging, I call it. You can even text me. But generally speaking, it's just when she's in that she'll talk about these things, and it takes a little bit of time to get her to sort of warm up and start to give some answers. But she's really not thinking about the ways to address her aunts every day. And I feel like it's a little too infrequent with our conversations to help her enough. My long-term solution is I think she needs a break after this season. I think she has to stop specializing so early. And that's where I say I might even consider removing myself, because I almost think I'm a part of the problem, like helping her kind of go down this hole, by giving her this encouragement, this help competitively. But I think she'd be better off taking some time off. And I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but again, with a 10-year-old, I'm a little bit out of my element. Most of my athletes are older, and it seems to be a little bit more difficult with her to get progress, especially mentally.
Yeah, I agree with you totally that sounds like she needs a break. And yeah, with swimming, there's an on season and an off season, but with swimming, there's so many different competitions year round, it's hard to get a break. But like you say, after Far Westerns, maybe if there's a natural time to take a break, you could say that to the dad and that you feel like she does need a break from this, and that, and to outline the benefits of that, that she can come back. So you could, if you could tell the parents, the dad, what you see happening, and with the, because he may not be seeing all that, she may be afraid to tell him what she's really experiencing. If you can tell the dad what is what she's really, how hard she's, what she's hurting, how she's hurting right now, and that it can be really damaging to her mental health long term if she keeps with this pressure, and then tell the benefits of taking a break. That would be great, and that she can come back even stronger, or decide what she wants to do. She might come back a really strong swimmer, or decide if she wants another sport, or sometimes you could take a break by doing different things too. It could be if she loves swimming, if she wants to swim in the ocean, do open water swimming, or just swimming for fun without competition. And then, like you say, if parents have to be open to your feedback, and if they're not, sometimes they'll listen to you, but then act like they're not listening and discount what you're saying, but then think about it later and then decide, Matt's right, what he was telling us. And they might decide to give her a break. So it would be good to give that kind of feedback. And then, like you say, if that would be okay too, if you feel like you can, if they're not willing to go along with that, and they're continuing to pressure her, then you could remove yourself from the situation for a while and see, give yourself a break, kind of thing, and let her, be able to, like you say, it's just because you don't want to be contributing to the her, downfall kind of thing, or you could suggest other things. You could suggest to the parents or to the coach different ways of, that they need to be doing, like some of the things we talked about in this call today of backing off on the pressure and letting them, giving suggestions for how to lower the pressure, just giving her a chance to swim without comparing to so-and-so, not saying you have to beat so-and-so or you have to beat this time, and see if that helps. But if it doesn't, then, a break can be a really good thing. Yeah, it can be one of the best things that ever happened. And give an example, if you have one of yourself taking a break or other athletes taking a break and doing something different for a little while. I know with myself, after winning the San Francisco Marathon, I got a stress fracture in my right tibia, and I had to take a break from running for 6 months. And I just started swimming and biking to get be able to manage the, be able to do something different, which was wonderful. And then once my leg healed, I was able to run, and then realized I could do this whole other sport, a triathlon, and got into that and ended up, getting second woman overall in the Hawaii Ironman triathlon. So it led to a whole new sport, a whole new life, a whole new way of having fun. So, it can sometimes changing what you're doing can make a huge difference. So, if there's any way you can give let them know how difficult what you see in the child that the parents might not see, and even if they don't seem open to it, they give that feedback and then give the benefits of changing something, taking a break, or teaching them how to back off on the pressure that they're giving. And then if it works, that's great. You might really be educating the parents or the coach on different things that they can do differently. So, that's my thought on it. Hope that's helpful. Thanks for your question. Yeah.
Sure.
And let's see, what in terms of takeaways, what for today's talk, can you think of what were some things that you could take away from today or what you learned, a nugget that was helpful for you?
You want me to?
Matt? Any things that you like to kind of go around with people that are on the call? Matt, you can go. Anything that was most helpful for you?
There was a couple things about culture that I wrote down, but I said having the kids give positive feedback to each other, after practice and who is maybe somebody that another athlete wants to highlight. And I think that could be really helpful, having them have that feeling of belonging and also maybe encourage some of the other athletes to work to that level if it inspires them. Maybe they want to be highlighted the next time, that sort of thing, and giving them choices in their workouts. And I have different workouts for every athlete and different paces set up and distances and all those things. I think I can try to be a little bit more flexible maybe in giving them a choice. Do you want to do some hill repeats today, or you could work a little bit more on your T-pace work, those type of things, and maybe give a few more options in their workouts that day. And that was kind of a good idea, I thought.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you so much, Matt. Yeah, so you're giving kids positive feedback and, to each other, highlighting the athletes. And that gives kids such a feeling of belonging, which is so key. And the choices, giving them choices of what to do. That gives them a sense of autonomy and ownership of their game too. So it makes them, I think, respect you more as a coach to realize, I get to make some of my own decisions here. Helps them to be better decision makers and to tune into themselves and ask themselves, what do I need more today? What's my body ready for today? So that's good. So great. Well, thank you for joining us, everyone, here. I think the other people listening are on mute or traveling while we're listening. So thank you. It's such an honor to work with you and privilege, and always enjoy our conversation so much. Let's see, our next call will be July the 11th. We have every second, fourth Thursday. That's great. So thank you, everyone. And if you have other questions, you can always email me too. So, yeah, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time on, I'll have this recording up soon and talk to you on July 11th. So thank you. Have
thank
a great
you.
Day. Okay. Mr., are you still there too? Okay. Thank you.